Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
I don't know what he's doing over there, but the show has started. Emil?
Yeah?
Are you you okay over there? What are you doing over there? I don't know if you're aware, but we are in studio and the show has begun.
Come on,
so,
man.
What are you doing?
Don't hassle me.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm watching Columbo.
Give me a break. You're really watching Columbo right now?
Why not?
You mean that detective with the... what's his deal?
He's got a trench coat, and he always says, just one more thing.
Columbo.
Yeah.
And you're watching it right now, and you would like me to not hassle you.
Please don't.
While you're watching Columbo.
Yeah.
But also, recording the show is what we're doing now.
I'm saying don't hassle me, bud.
I will not hassle him while he watches Columbo. I will heed his warning, and I apologize for hassling you, Babu.
Look, there's big news.
There is big news. What's the big news? What do you tell the people? Hey, what is that? That's a t-shirt that says, don't hassle me, I'm watching Columbo, which is the thing that you just said.
It's finally happening. We have been harassed and harangued enough.
Yeah.
And we finally made t-shirts. How sick are these, huh?
They're quite sick.
So, and then...
oh, the biggest thing
that I... check this out. Well, we also got... freaking koozies.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. They're really high quality.
And you know, it's summertime when you want to keep your beer cold and you want people to know...
Or your water or tea or Sprite.
Beer.
Yeah.
We're drinking beer all summer, baby.
Only if you're 21.
Or like 16 or 17. Grab yourself a beer.
But then check this out, too. Bumper stickers.
These are super sick too.
Really, really cool. And then there you get a Trillionaire Mindset one, and then the ship.
So you get the classic. Don't hassle me, I'm watching Columbo.
God dang, that thing's beautiful.
You put that on your car, the guy knows. All right, I'm going around this guy.
They spelled hassle wrong. I made you look. You fucking sucker.
Piece of shit. And then you get the Trillionaire Classics. You get the freaking logo. You know that's fucking sick.
That's cool.
You put that on your notebook at school. Girls are going to go, you like the Trillionaire Mindset?
What is that, you dork?
Holy shit. Yeah, you're going to get beat up by girls.
Yeah.
You put this on your fucking notebook?
Don't do that.
You're getting beat up by girls. But this one?
That one's cool.
You're getting dates. You're not going to know who to take to prom.
Yeah.
Me and if you're getting made fun of, me and Ben will come take you to prom. But put it on your notebook. Also, we have to say, these are special edition. Okay, we've got 110 t-shirts.
1,000.
Nope, just 110.
T-shirt.
And then we have 100 sticker packs and 50 koozies. And
that's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
Wow.
They are on sale as we speak. And they went on sale early for TMG Studios tiers members and Trillionaire Mindset tier members.
Oh,
for the TMGstudios.tv.
Oh, snap. You so, better hurry. You
it's
better...
entirely possible that they're gone.
Yeah. Check out my mug.
Yeah. Also, while you're there, throw a mug in your cart because...
you got money to spend.
You might
as well. Fake anyway.
Take your parents' credit cards. Cut them up.
Or steal a Visa gift card from Walmart. They don't need it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you can't do that because you need them to like activate it. So if you know someone who works at Walmart, then you could probably steal better.
Yeah. Anyway, get your sticker packs, get your freaking t-shirts.
Wow, look at this guy go. He's a real pro. You know, and once we run out, we run out. So if you don't get it on this drop, you'll have to wait until the next one.
Yeah, now's your time.
Who the fuck knows when that'll be?
Yeah, who fucking knows?
That's between us and God.
You know how long it takes to get these?
I mean, look how long it took.
Look how long it took.
Yeah, we had to bargain with the sticker union.
Oh, yeah. Big sticker was all over us. And
Big sticker was all over.
Fuck.
I remember one time I put duct tape over my nipples to surf because my wetsuit was chafing me.
That seems like a good idea.
It actually was great, but then when I got out of the water, I had to remove the duct tape, and that's when I was like, oh, this wasn't such a good idea after all. Don't hassle me. I'm watching Columbia. And we're also going to work on doing some kind of episode, special episode, where we watch...
Oh, we're working on it. I'm going to show Ben. I'm going to show Ben his first episode of Columbo.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to watch Chappie together, so I can guide you through why it's actually.
I can't. I'm actually busy that night.
I didn't even give you a
no,
night.
No, but I'm so busy.
That's cool though. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll try, but
we'll figure it out.
I'm just so busy.
So like, yeah, we'll figure it out. It's cool. That's not even an open can.
No, it is. It's really good beer.
Apple shares are just getting hammered this morning.
Every day they're pounding it.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Surprise.
Hey Glenn. Glenn, I got to send you your t-shirt. It's on my couch. I just got to wrap it up and send it to you.
We signed it for him.
Yeah, so go ahead and check the disclaimer, the disclosure, whatever the hell. Hell yeah, the stocks are really working. It's in the see more description box or see just click more, whatever the fuck. I don't care. Shut up.
Glenn, sorry, but mine was a joke. I wrote comply this and then I drew a middle finger and then I signed it.
Oh, hey, I wanted to give a shout out to Sam, a listener of the show.
No, we don't do shout outs.
A listener of the show got rear-ended by a drunk driver.
Okay, we'll allow this shout out.
Yeah, she got rear-ended by a drunk driver and sent me a DM with a photo of her wearing her a Trillionaire Mindset shirt as she got rear-ended. So she was wearing it in the hospital, and she was like hooked up to shit in the picture and was like, I've been telling the nurses and doctors to listen to your show. I'm sure the nurses and doctors are like, shut the fuck up.
Wow.
I'm a nurse. I don't listen to podcasts.
I've been getting a lot of DMs from doctors and nurses lately, and they're like, this show is dangerous to young people. You're warping their minds.
That's exactly what we want to do. We want to meld their little minds to be smarter.
We're smushing their brains.
We're smoothing out the wrinkles.
Yeah.
Because have you seen a koala's brain?
Is it smooth?
Smooth as silk, baby.
From all the chlamydia and eucalyptus?
Probably. Those little freaks. It's weird that they're bears. You don't think about that.
They're marsupials.
Well, I feel stupid now. Pandas, too. Pandas are bears. When next you're going to tell me a panda's what, like a fucking kangaroo or something?
Now I'm nervous I'm wrong. Isn't a koala bear a marsupial?
I don't know, man. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you said
the babies. The babies, well, because it's a koala bear. Oh, they're not bears. They're marsupials.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're little dummies. They're so cute, though. But
I think they're a little aggressive.
They're aggressively, they're stupidly aggressive or aggressively stupid?
Maybe both. I don't know if I find them that cute.
I think that
just kidding. Just kidding. Shh.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you got the little koala there.
Okay, that's incredibly cute.
Yeah,
I love him.
You know what I'm surprised has survived this long without just absolutely dying? It's humans, but sloths. Talk about a dumb animal.
Mm. They're just living life, man.
One of my favorite sequences of jokes. It would work if you were closer to me. But
I'll get closer to you.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
cow. Moo. Right. And then you follow it up with knock, knock.
Come on in.
Fucking Christ. What? Knock, knock.
It's open.
Can you just... It's the knock, knock joke. Knock, knock.
I'm just finishing up dinner. Just come on in.
Anyway, you say interrupting sloth. And then as they say interrupting sloth who, you just kind of... Slowly reach your finger out and then poke them on the shoulder. It's a great joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd make a 5-year-old piss their pants. Piss and shit their little pants. I remember I pissed my pants in kindergarten. My friend Jason Roddy, I was like, Jason, can you go grab me some paper towels? I can still remember it, like, vividly, those hard, like, cardboard elementary school paper towels, first grade paper towels.
I don't think
the low quality, like, recycled pulp.
Yeah, but I don't think that would work. Once you pissed, it's like...
Well, it was to clean up the puddle around my feet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Oh, well, because it was an emergency,
so you
dude.
Just walk away from that puddle.
You know, in my school, also, we didn't have doors on the stalls in our bathrooms.
I like that.
So, no kid, if you had to shit at school, God help you. Because not only were you shitting out of sheer emergency, so it was like you couldn't not shit. You had to shit. But kids would just show, they would, I remember going into the bathroom at recess one time and there was a crowd around the stall. And I'm like, oh, somebody must be pooping. And I had to turn and look, and there's this kid going, go away, leave me alone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, kids would ball up wet paper towels and huck them over. And it's just like, God, you poor fuckers. Oh, hey,
we used to pretend, like, if the bathroom was kind of crowded in high school, we used to pretend that we were, like, thrown out of the stall. So we would, like, we would have our pants around our ankles, and then we'd kind of go, whoa, and then we'd fall out.
That's pretty funny. Me and my friend Chris Thatch in, like, seventh grade, oh, this is embarrassing, we used to see how high we could piss on the wall.
Oh, Jesus.
Bathroom. Yeah.
Kids are disgusting.
I know.
You know how to say constipated in German?
Far from pooping.
Yeah. Have I told you this one?
Nope, but I've been around the block, my friend.
I told you it.
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah, you're right. Subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're listening, please head over to youtube.com/trillionairemindset and subscribe. We are almost at 30,000 subs, which means we are only 20,000 away from the big kiss.
The big kiss,
the
funky
big kiss.
Town, baby.
50,000 subs. We're at 29.8K subscribers. That's 1,000.
Oh, wow. We're pretty close to 30K.
We're close.
Which means we're close to 50K, which means we're halfway to 100K when you guys get...
The penis calendar.
The penis calendar.
Yeah, the semi-nude penis calendar. You're going to want to annihilate that subscribe button. You're going to click it so hard that some nerd over at Google recoils from his stupid keyboard, and then you're going to want to smash that little notification bell that'll send that same engineer's head spinning, just absolutely spinning. Sir, they're pressing the subscribe button way too fast and way too hard.
It can't hold.
It's overwhelming the servers. Shut up, bitch. Get back to work.
That's how they talk at Google.
You're too high again. They fire you because that... We all know that that's not how it works. Anyway, so like this video, leave a comment, follow us on social media if you want, if you're so inclined, if you feel so inclined. And anyway, it's going to, oh man, we got.
Gonna what?
We got a lot to cover here.
Go ahead, do it.
I mean, we. What am I, French?
I mean, oui, oui.
Mon chéri, Snapchat is not doing so good. I don't know if we want to... I want to talk about gun stocks. I want to talk about the Second Amendment. I want to express my anger and disgust. I want to rant.
I think you can get the rant out of the way because people should see it. Fuck.
Yeah. Okay, so there's this thing that happens. First of all, there's a couple of things that are gross about our system. I mean, there's a lot that's gross, but a couple of things come to mind.
We talk about it a lot on this show.
Yeah, we've got private prison stocks, right? So what does that mean, Emil? That means that these private prison companies have a bottom line. They've got margins. They've got shareholders to consider. What does their business model consist of? They need prisoners.
They need prisoners
to fill the prisons. Otherwise, they go belly up. So, do you think that those private prisons just sit back and wait to collect their prisoners?
I sure hope so.
Oh, you would think, my friend, but flog no, they don't. They lobby. They want stricter laws. They want it is in their best interest to have more criminals, to have more, not even criminals, I shouldn't even say that, to have more people to throw in prison. And there are also publicly traded gun and ammunition and weapons stocks. You got Ruger. You got
Smith & Wesson.
Smith & Wesson. There's a few others who I'm...
Also, I mean, this we've talked about when the Ukraine stuff happened, we were like, the only winners here are going to be defense contracting companies.
Yeah.
And their stocks are going to shoot up.
And historically, when there has been shootings, the next day, like clockwork, all of these gun and ammunition stocks are up 5-10%. And it's usually because the prevailing thinking is there's going to be backlash, there's going to be stricter gun laws, therefore people are going to go out and buy as many guns as ammo and ammo as they can before those laws get enacted.
It also happens when there's a Democratic president elected.
Interesting. Funny enough, gun stocks are kind of in the shitter, and I think that there's been a muted reaction from...
But they did jump a little bit.
Yeah?
Because there was a New York Times article. Gun maker stocks, which often rise after mass shootings, jump.
It's gross. Yeah, look at this quote from this guy. Smith & Wesson and Vista Outdoor both increased about 7%, while Sturm Ruger gained more than 4%. The stock market overall was up about 1% the other day. The gun industry has perverse incentives because sales and their stocks go up when there are events like this.
They also had a big pandemic because gun sales went up sharply during the
pandemic. Oh, huge. There were lines around the block at your local gun store.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting? I've been seeing billboards around Los Angeles for less than lethal guns.
Yeah.
What the fuck are those? They're like handguns that are orange.
I imagine it's like rubber bullets or something.
Yeah. Really interesting. Just
do you not want to kill, but you still want to maim? I got a gun for you, pal.
Jesus Christ. So I went on a bit of a Twitter rant last night because I just was pissed off thinking about this shit. And there's going to be things that I'm going to leave out that I'm going to remember later and it's going to piss me off. But there's a lot to cover with how fucked up it is that we are where we are. And just a couple things that I want to rattle off, and feel free to chime in with whatever you got. But the Constitution was written, what, over 200 years ago? What is it, 200?
50 odd years, whatever.
Yeah. Like, they didn't even have candy back then. They didn't even have sour Skittles.
They probably had candy.
Yeah, but they didn't have sour Skittles. If you gave Ben Franklin a sour Skittle, His little freak head would explode.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they didn't even know dinosaurs existed.
You don't think so?
No, I know so. They didn't. Dinosaur bones weren't discovered until like the 1800s.
But they probably believed in dragons. I get where you're going with
this. Yeah, and yet we, 250 whatever years into the future, are beholden to these rules laid out by these guys. And so a similar kind of thought exercise that I like to think of is, hey, if we were given free rein to create a nation today and we were to lay the groundwork for future generations hundreds of years down the line, no sensible person would be hard and fast like, nope, what we think of today, even though we can't fathom what technological advances will occur in the next 100, 200, 300 years, what we say today will have to stick after we're long dead and buried and have been reincarnated into various beautiful animals, hopefully a dog.
That's what you want to be?
That's what I want to be. But it blows my mind how staunchly stubborn the Second Amendment Second Amendment boners are.
Sickos.
Which is funny because the first part of the Second Amendment says well-regulated. Well-regulated. And yet, it's just there's absolutely no room for any kind of...
regulations?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's funny. They're doing the... it's always they're going to take our guns. They're going to take our guns.
And I'd like to see you try.
There are two gun bills that passed in the House that are just sitting there waiting for a vote in the Senate. And neither of them are gun bans or about taking laws. They're also quite short. If you'd like to read them, you can look them up, H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446. Both of them, HR 8 is for requiring a background check for every arms sale. The purpose of the act is to utilize the current background checks process in the U.S. to ensure individuals prohibited from gun purchase or possession are not able to obtain firearms. HR 1446, similarly, wants to revise background check requirements applicable to proposed firearm transfers from a federal firearms licensee. It increases the amount of time from 3 business days to a maximum of 10, or a minimum of 10 business days.
And a popular refrain.
So these are not.
Yeah.
There's no.
Well, bad guys are going to find a way around the gun laws anyway. And that drives me insane because, well, how many guns are in America? There's like 400 million guns in America or something like that. I believe there's like 2 for every 1 citizen.
Well, then that'd be about 700 million.
So there's hundreds of millions of guns in America. And what drives me wild about these people who say, well, you might as well not make laws because bad guys are going to. Well, we might as well not have any laws, first of all, because if that's where you're going, that's that logical conclusion. But secondly, the only reason we are at this point where there is such a glut of gun supply out there for people to skirt laws is because of decades of lax policy like this that's been influenced by the gun lobby and by the NRA.
Sure.
So if we had implemented sensible restrictions 30, 40, 50 years ago, we wouldn't be in this position today, or at least we would be significantly less likely to be, I would think. And for that matter, here's my solution.
Oh, you've got, oh, I love prescriptive rates.
Gun, there needs to be myriad incentives to reduce the supply of guns. Buybacks, tax incentives. They work. Vouchers for fucking gas, whatever. Like, hey, you got it. You got an AR-15. We'll buy it back from you for $3,000. It's just like the cash for clunkers thing that California did for cars that failed smog. You got a car that's worth $500. Doesn't matter. We are going to buy it back for $3,000.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily the problem, right? This kid bought.
Well, that's one part of the problem. That's
okay.
One
because this kid turned 18, bought a gun like a week later.
So that's the other thing. So I mean,
and
so,
he's not going to go. I was going to shoot up this school, but you know what? I heard I can get a rebate for gas. What?
That's one part. There's
you need
it's
to make
twofold.
It harder to get guns.
Yes. So I'm talking about, that's just the first part. You got to get rid of the existing guns. You got to, or at least dramatically reduce them. Second part is you got to make it so fucking hard to get a gun.
All right. Now we're talking.
You got to make it so fucking hard to get a gun. You got to.
How hard is it?
You have to say. You have to give a reason why you need the gun.
I'm going to kill myself.
You need to undergo. Okay, so I like this quote. I don't know who it's from, but Rex Chapman, the guy, the perennially online Twitter guy, former NBA player. Yeah. Here's this quote. How about we treat every young man who wants to buy a gun like every woman who wants to get an abortion? Mandatory 48-hour waiting period, parental permission, a note from his doctor proving he understands what he's about to do, a video he has to watch about the effects of gun violence, an ultrasound wand up the ass. Let's close down all but one gun shop in every state and make him travel hundreds of miles, take time off work, and stay overnight in a strange town to get a gun. Make him walk through a gauntlet of people holding photos of loved ones who were shot to death, people who call him a murderer and beg him not to buy a gun. I mean, this is a bit...
I get what he's saying, yes. But you don't even need to go that far. There are plenty of things that are more regulated than guns, right? It's just they're very easy to get. There was
an automobile license?
Sure. And there's that video going around of... some news company in Virginia had a 13-year-old. The first, they sent him into different stores to try to buy booze. They laugh him out of the store. Then he does cigarettes. Then he does lotto tickets. And every time he gets laughed out of the store. And then he goes to a gun show.
13-year-old.
He goes to a gun show and buys a gun.
Successfully buys a gun.
Very easily. And
in what state was this? Virginia?
Yeah. And it's... Yeah, all of these things are much harder to do.
As country and world.
When it's a public sale, apparently you have to be 18, but when you go to a gun show, it's this weird loophole. They're considered private sales. It doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to follow the same regulations.
I don't understand what the brain worms in these gun lovers' heads
are doing. Well, they fuck the guns.
But I don't understand how they're even against that. Any kind of...
Well, I don't think... Okay, so that's a small percentages of the population.
Sure.
There's that number going around now, like 89% of people are desperate for some kind of gun regulation.
Yes.
But as we've talked about on the show, public opinion does not influence American policy.
No, the minority rules.
The lobbies rule.
Yeah.
And you're seeing the reaction from right-wing politicians is bizarre. They love to talk about the mental health crisis, right? But Texas denied federal funding for addressing the mental health crisis.
Yeah.
Or they blame, there's too many goddamn doors on that school.
That's what Ted Cruz said.
Have you seen how many fucking doors are on that school? That's the real problem.
Ted Cruz is such a parasitic worm of a man, and looking at his face and the forced expression of concern in his eyes, and he's just such a hollow shell of a person who truly, I mean, he's just, what an ugly, ugly person.
He should just take off and go back to Cancun for this one.
He should just, oh man, I mean, it's just such a bummer that this guy exists.
Oh yeah, he's real.
He's just such a, like, he's just so fucking fake and phony.
Remember when Donald Trump was like ragging on him, dunking on his wife, and then Trump wins the primary and he's like, you know, Donald Trump is a good man, I stand behind him, and
yep,
he just fucking lines up behind it.
He's,
imagine being such a fucking feckless coward.
Imagine having to fuck him.
Okay, so I actually did in the late 90s fuck Ted Cruz. And it was kind of good.
Just look at his stupid bulbous nose and his smooth skin and his high cheekbones.
Are you?
His kissable pouty lips.
Holy shit. But yeah, I don't.
It sucks ass.
It's.
God.
I don't quite understand the way people dig their heels on this, especially watching, you know, it was probably just, you know, 6 months ago or so when you're watching, you know, parents just absolutely scream at teachers and school board members and even doctors and healthcare workers.
Right.
For even suggesting
that
a child should wear a mask in school.
Oh, it's gonna traumatize them in unknown ways.
There was videos of them threatening a doctor. I think it was in Tennessee or something.
Yeah, that's right.
He's trying to drive out away from the like school board meeting.
Yeah.
We know where you live.
Yeah, these masks, it's traumatizing children. How about fucking active shooter drills? Or hey, how about just active shooters? And just that existing as a thing. I didn't have to do that. The worst we had was fire drills and earthquake drills.
We did them.
You did active shooter drill?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Code blue.
Just before my time. Thank God. It's a lot of these people proudly proclaim that America is the greatest country on earth by virtue of the fact that so many people try to come to America, which is so stupid because it supposes that America is the only country that people want to immigrate to. People immigrate to Mexico from Guatemala. People immigrate to the UK from Africa and Eastern Europe. Like, we're not the only country where people try to escape to.
But that also doesn't give you a blank check to be like, look, people want to come here so it's fine if children get shot.
Yeah, no
Shut
kidding.
Shut up.
People also want to go into shitty nightclubs, and that doesn't mean that they're good.
Yeah, and you know what? People get shot up in nightclubs, too, because that's just the way America works.
And I remember during Sandy Hook, I got into it with this kid that I went to high school with who's like a big Civil War reenactor guy or World War II reenactor guy, big gun guy, and he dug in his heels and he pretty much said, yeah, these dead kids are the cost of freedom.
No way.
Yep.
What? That's an insane.
That's pretty much what he said. He said, yeah, I'm sorry. I know it's ugly, but this is the cost of freedom. Well, then maybe it ain't worth it, son. Maybe. Is that freedom? What freedom?
Right. The real freedom is like kids not being scared to
go
to school.
What?
That feels like.
What are you talking about, dipshit? What? It's just the. What makes us the greatest country? Oh, you get sick and you're bankrupted?
Yeah. No, or that is it. Because you have the freedom to choose. Don't
how
you
you're
get
bankrupt.
It? Yeah. You have the freedom to choose.
Is it Cigna? Is it Blue Cross?
Right.
Is it
you
Kaiser?
Have the freedom to choose which one you can't afford.
Yes.
And then if you can get that one, you have the freedom for your teeth to fall out. Because, of course, health insurance isn't going to cover your fucking teeth.
No.
That's in your mouth. That's a different fucking thing.
Plus, it's your fault for having teeth.
Yeah.
See? Come on.
Who told you to have teeth?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
It's just... Maybe that system should be changed. And what also drives me nuts is the guys who say, well, you don't like it, just leave. I thought America was great because you could change things about it. And I thought America was good because that's what the founding fathers dictated is, hey, if shit sucks, you guys should change it.
Also,
that's what they said.
The
verbatim.
Founding fathers can suck my dick.
Yeah, the founding fathers can suck my dick.
That's like...
They didn't even invent fucking lip balm. They didn't have Blistex.
My guy's walking around with the most chapped lips he's ever experienced.
Owning
slaves.
Yeah, they didn't have Manscaped back then. They didn't know how to... They didn't have electricity! They didn't have electricity! You could fire a musket and it would take you like 90 seconds to reload. One little... ball.
Right. You could fire two shots like every 3 minutes.
Christ on the cross. And if you're one of the, I know we have conservative listeners and stuff, and get some help.
No, don't say that.
I know, but like I know that there's
here's
gonna,
what I would say.
There's gonna be the inevitable guy in the comments who's like, you don't know what you're talking about, and this fucking Second Amendment is fucking is freedom, and if you don't understand that liberty, you gotta get the fuck out. And to that I just say you haven't been listening.
I would say, ask yourself, what do you want?
Yeah.
What? Because if you can honestly look at yourself and go, this is what I want. This is the world I want.
Yeah, this is the country.
It's more important to me that I have this freedom than stopping children from dying when they go to school. Then fine. And you can live with that. That's okay. But I think you need to really ask yourself, what do I want? And not just get sucked into a weird politicized thing of like a feeling, you know, no, this is right and true. We need this.
It eventually falls back on, well, how are you going to get rid of the guns then? I'd like to see you take it. Or you're a pussy. That's what they usually
true,
say.
True, though. That's true.
That is true. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Oh,
or
yeah. Can
these
we also,
guys.
Like, that's, I love the fucking macho, like, pro-gun guys. I sent this in. So this is Rep. Randy Fine from God knows where. I have news for the embarrassment that claims to be our president. Try to take our guns, and you'll learn why the Second Amendment was written in the first place. So thinly veiled threat coming from this motherfucker. And then we've got Jeffrey Clark replying, Civil War it is then.
Yeah,
just and then
war.
Just, God.
It's
fuck you, Jeffrey Clark.
The other countries that have done
civil war
about
is
it,
then we are going to have civil war, which is fine.
Don't even get me started on that. But the other countries that have enacted gun restrictions, I don't know, I'm thinking of Japan, Australia, the UK, countless other ones.
Oh yeah, Australia is like the perfect example because they're quite a similar country to us in a lot of ways, and they had mass shootings, and then they did sensible gun laws, and they haven't had...
And now look at them, because now they have an unarmed populace, so their government's fully free to be fascist and just take them over.
True.
Hey, where were the gun guys when the tyrannical government was forcing us to wear masks and vaccines? Where were you guys? Why didn't you overthrow the government?
Polishing those guns,
just waiting for those cops that they love and respect to come shoot at them.
Try and take it.
The cops that you love must respect and love all law enforcement, but also gonna kill the law enforcement when they come to try to take my guns. Because they're part of the fascist government that I love, because you should always listen to the cops. But also when the cops try to come and take my guns... God, I'd like to see you try, cops.
We can't even... We've been talking about this for a while, but the fucking... I don't know if you saw the video of the useless cops just basically stopping the parents from trying to run in to...
The good guys with the guns didn't do anything, you mean?
Oh, there was also a fucking...
What?
There was an armed cop at the school.
What?
Yeah.
It didn't work like they said it would work?
A lot of people are talking about arming the teachers. We need to arm the kids.
Oh, yeah. My sister Dana, who's a fucking special ed teacher, definitely is going to be able to handle taking down a mentally ill guy with a fucking AR-15. Yeah, she's not going to be panicked or making sure that her kids are okay. She's going to be thinking, I remember my training. Her voice is going to change. The other.
Have you ever shot a gun?
Yeah.
It's funny because there was an article where a guy was like, I went to shoot an AR-15, and his whole thing was basically like, it was terrifying. And basically every gun owner was like owning him like pussy, whatever. I had shotguns when I was younger, and then I went after that article had came out, and I was like, this is kind of scary. I don't like being around all these people shooting guns and having to shoot this gun. I went with like guys, and I was like, I guess I'll shoot the gun. But I really didn't. I was like, I have no desire to do it.
For a lot of these dudes, it's a hobby. And I understand you got to have hobbies. And I understand marksmanship. And I understand, listen, I understand responsible gun ownership.
Sure.
And these guys get so butthurt when they're like, well, what about responsible? What about responsible gun owners? And it's like, okay, fucko.
What do you need an assault rifle for?
If cops try to come take my gun, I need the gun to protect myself from the gun. I need a job so that I can afford my car to drive to
work.
Has
there ever been a scenario where that's worked? Fucking like Waco, Texas. Weren't they like armed to the gills?
That's why we need guns, dude, to prevent another Waco.
But they had guns and explosives.
I know. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Is that it's, fuck, this is going to come out later. I just know Jesus. It.
Wait, can you click on that? It looks like a meme right under it. What does that say? You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands, and then it's a
drone.
A drone.
Firing a missile. Not a problem. That's the drone voice would definitely be like, not a problem. Gleep glorps.
That's
style.
The thing, dude. Your AR-15 is not going to help you if the American government chooses to turn on its own citizens. I'm sorry, but they have like, you know... The CIA has weird lasers that make you shit your pants and stuff. Like
the Jewish lasers? Jewish satellite lasers?
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene knows all about those weird Jewish lasers.
It's also... Oh, here's what I was going to say.
Here it is.
The other countries that all collectively came together and said, all right, yeah, we're not going to do this. There is a difference between us and them, and the difference is Americans are the most selfish, short-sighted, full-of-denial creatures that inhabit this earth. The most entitled, self-important, righteous people to walk the earth.
I feel bad putting it that way because I think it's a... I think it's like we were joking about, you know, no healthcare, no employment protections, no whatever. And it's like a sick society we've built for ourselves here where everyone does feel, I mean, I think that is a problem bred out of everyone feeling like they have no safety net, nothing to fall back on. So
yes.
They have to be viciously out for themselves.
Yes.
Otherwise they could be the next person living on the street, right?
Mm-hmm. But the country, the Christian nation, who's one of their central tenets is love thy neighbor, also is like, yeah, but fuck my neighbor.
Right. And you hear it with every, like whenever there's some kind of push to do something that could help people, it's like, let's eliminate student debt. And it's like, well, what about all the people who fucking, who paid off their student debt? Yeah. And it's like, well, I can't have something good happen to someone because I suffered through something.
Sure. Or... universal healthcare. Who can,
so we
who
all
can
must
pay for that?
Suffer.
Why should I pay for that?
Right.
Fucker, you pay for the streets. You pay for the fire department, the police department. You pay for
you're
every
already paying
thing
for your, you're paying for your healthcare as well.
Christ, man. It's like we're just a very selfish people.
Sure,
and,
but
and
I think
there's no unifying sense of we're all truly in this together. Let's all come together to find a solution to a thing. And it's just a downer. It's a fucking bummer, dude.
Sure. Because we've never collectively come together. No, I don't think an American has ever had that experience. I don't think they would know what that is like.
You know what we got to do? We got to put acid
in the water supply. Yeah. Now we're talking, bud.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Dose the masses.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That could help.
That could help.
But seriously, there are countries where they can truly feel what solidarity is like. I can't remember if it was like Norway or Finland. It was basically the government had decided to cut pensions for, say, the postal workers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And unions across the board in all industries were like, nah, we're going on strike. Don't fucking do that. And then they were like, okay, we won't fucking do that.
I love that for them.
But in America, everyone just goes, I don't give a fuck.
Fuck them.
It's not happening to me. Get
unions,
a job.
Unions are a leftist ideal.
Get a job.
Yeah.
Lazy asshole. Then leave. I don't want to. My friends and family are here.
Yeah.
I have a life here.
Well, then buy a gun to protect them if you love them so much.
Might as well.
Yeah. Well, you want to engage in the most graceful pivot in all of podcasting?
Sure. How many audience do you think we lost for that?
I sincerely 25
minutes.
I would hope that anyone in our audience wouldn't take what we're saying personally. I'm not attacking you if you hold these beliefs. I just hope that you have the critical thinking skills and the self-reflectiveness necessary to kind of take a step back and look at the bigger picture and realize that clearly something ain't working and something's not going right. Enough's enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked, the things that get politicized, they're quite odd. I don't know why this is a politicized thing. I think, and that's what makes everyone feel so insane is, you know, you're asking for... And not to be a downer, but we've been through this many times. I'm not optimistic.
And we will again.
Yes. I'm not optimistic that anything will change. This is all just shouting into the void anyway. But to keep watching it happen and go, holy shit, we live in a fucking nightmare.
And to cross your arms and just say, that's the cost of freedom, or that's the Second Amendment. Again, like, what is it going to take for you to say, hey, maybe we ought to change something?
Right.
And you get so butthurt about it being politicized. Well, then maybe if it wasn't one of the central tenets of your party, we wouldn't have to politicize it. Maybe if you, you know, took a little bit of a step toward the middle. I don't know. If you're that sensitive that you get that butthurt about one aspect that is clearly broken in this country, I don't know what to tell you, bub.
Keep tuning in though, because we do need you. We love you.
Yeah. Oh man. And
all right, let's see you do it. Let's see you pivot your way out of this, you fucking broadcast professional.
Well, normally you would take a commercial break. And you would say, like,
hey,
oh, you know what's going on in the market this week? Huh.
What's going on, pal?
Well, some big news came and happened.
Besides the gun stocks bouncing.
Yeah, well, things are slowing down, and there's a lot of talk out there about a recession looming, and it's interesting. But first, we'll get to Snapchat. Oh, how's that beer?
I'm so drunk.
Snapchat got murked. It got knocked down 44% the other day. Because they said that they were going to fall short of their own guidance that they had given last quarter. Not only did they say they were going to fall short of it, they were going to be below the low end of their estimates. So that freaked out pretty much the entire ad and tech sector. The CEO said that they're planning to slow hiring through the end of the year. It hit Pinterest, it hit Facebook, it hit Google, it hit the Trade Desk, pretty much all ad tech, like I said. And the Apple privacy updates that came into effect last year are really starting to, that whose effects were unknown at the time, because it was like, well, we don't really know the scope of this. Are people, because what is it? Because
how does it work?
Yeah, I didn't have
it. Basically, after their software update, if you were Apple iPhone user, you would now get, every time you opened a new app, you would get a notification saying that they've implemented this thing, and you can ask the app not to track. And so you have two options: ask app not to track or allow.
And what does that do? It significantly diminishes the effectiveness of targeted
ads. Yeah, whereas before, basically all third-party apps were allowed to track your data. Now, you can opt out.
They were allowed to track your data, but were they allowed to track your mama?
Ben, that's a damn good joke.
Thank you. And something like 60% of iPhone users
are
opted out.
Yeah, it feels so fucking good.
Yeah, and it crushes. I mean, you're starting to see it. So if 99% of Snap ads in 2020 came from Snap revenue, excuse me, came from ads, buddy, that's gonna.
Have you ever felt it hurt. When, like, with Google Maps? So I've been like trying to be more private with my stuff, and someone told me that basically Google Maps is constantly following and tracking everything and storing everywhere you go.
Yeah, because that helps with the traffic.
Right. And
like showing traffic patterns.
Yeah, and someone was like, you should turn it off so they don't track you. And I did turn it off, and it's Google Maps is so much more inconvenient now because it doesn't save all the places you go. So whereas before, you know, if I put your address in a bunch, it would know when I was going. It would be like, are you going to Ben Kahn's? Or I could just stick in the 5. Ben's address starts with a 5.
Try to figure it out.
Yeah, mine starts with a 5 too, because we live 2 blocks away from each other.
Yeah, I'd like to see you try to take my gun.
No, I don't have any
guns. These guns.
But I have an axe in my bedroom.
Damn.
You come to my house, I'll be ready.
I got a baseball bat.
But I'm like, I might just opt back in because it's horrible.
I don't even recall ever being asked, but I'm sure I just said, yeah, it's fine. Track me all you want.
Yeah, you seem
like... deserve to make a little money.
I hate when they do that. Like Google will be like, help us out. Tell us how your trip was. It's like, help yourself, bitch. I don't work for you.
Whenever I get prompted the cookie question on websites, I always accept.
You just have to.
It's because like, it makes me feel like if I say no, it's going to like not work or something.
Yeah. Well, no, if you hit no, then you get taken to another page where it's like, which ones do you want to opt out? And it's like, look, I just wanted to read the article.
Yeah. Or I want to be told that I've reached my free article limit.
Yeah.
And then click out.
I'm not here to play your baby games.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, these are hurting companies big time.
Yes.
With their targeted ads.
Yeah. And so a lot of companies are starting to feel like a lot of them are bracing for impact from this unknown looming economic downturn, and they're laying off employees to preserve cash because, you know, with interest rates rising, cash is less expensive or more expensive to borrow, and it's less of a friendly market for cash intensive growth stocks, tech stocks.
Can I say one thing about Snapchat?
Yeah.
I would for sure think, when I saw the headlines and stuff, I thought it was going to be that they were losing,
revenue?
Users.
Oh, users.
Who uses Snapchat?
It's fucking kids.
I don't know. Is it all kids?
I mean, I don't know. That's just what I assume.
Did you use it at one time?
Years ago.
Right.
I used it because it was like everybody was able to use this one, whatever the filter was at the time. And I was like, I got to get on that. I got to use that filter.
My friends were on it. Oh, yeah. Wow. Look at that. 15 to 25. Okay. If you're Gen Z, don't fucking come at me for not being on Snapchat.
I feel bad for whatever Jennifer out there has a last name that starts with Z.
Gen Z.
And every time it's like, are they, huh? Huh? Me? No, Jen.
What are you doing on your computer?
I'm just selling a couple things before.
And it's not stocks. I can see. He's like selling a piece of furniture.
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
selling a. I'm selling stock stuff.
It's an
doggy.
Armoire.
It's a. The market could be. I mean, we've had quite a bounce, but I'm like making sure that I have positions that are expiring tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm ringing the cash register real fast. So excuse me, I'm sorry. Very unprofessional. Sorry.
Or very professional.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm up $1,000 on Tesla calls for next week. I will ring the register there. Thank you so much.
Ben.
Elon Musk. Fuck you, Elon.
Should we talk about him for a second before we have to...
yeah, I guess. Oh, wait. So the thing with Snapchat, it's not unique to Snapchat. There's this Deutsche Bank, this guy from Deutsche Bank said.
Who you hate.
No, I don't. I have no opinion.
You do.
I hate Deutsche Bank or this guy?
You hate Deutsche Bank.
Sure, certainly.
There is an episode where you fucking are like, Deutsche Bank sucks.
They're also kind of a joke of a bank. Like, they're the
Deutsche Bank?
Yes, just a garbage shit bank. He said it, folks.
No, you said it.
Okay, well, there you have it. I guess I did.
But now you're like, I love their analysts. All I use is Deutsche.
No, but what this guy said is a quote, while the excess valuation premium has largely been wrung out, a.k.a. stocks have dropped, valuations have dropped, it is not yet low, and valuation concerns are now giving way to earnings concerns. Meaning, you know, at the tippy top, it was like, wow, a lot of these rates are going to be rising and interest rates are going to be rising. So a lot of these valuations are a little lofty, right? Well, now that's giving way to earnings concerns. And he goes on to say, forward estimates, a.k.a., you know, when companies are making estimates like Snapchat did about forthcoming quarters, have begun to be downgraded but remain well above prior trend levels, leaving them vulnerable. So, yeah, there's still a lot out there. And, oh, man, do we even fucking
get into this? All of this could be related, too, to a lot of, you know, people are going outside again.
Yeah.
People are going to be on. I was on fucking every app so much during the whole lockdown.
Yeah.
And now I'm out there touching grass, baby.
And that speaks to this. You know, we'll touch on that in the after hours, just like digital regulation, because I think that that's an interesting conversation. So stick around for that. We're going to be talking about that. But there's this guy from Morgan Stanley, Mike Wilson, who thinks that there's further downside ahead. Can you click that? I liked what he said. He said the bottom line, equity clients, meaning, you know, equity clients in this situation means funds and whatnot, who are owning stocks, are bearish overall, and they're not that optimistic about a quick rebound. While this is a necessary condition for a sustainable low, we don't think it's a sufficient one. So basically he's saying, hey, everybody's pretty bearish, and usually that is necessary to put in a low when everybody's on one side of the boat, but it's not sufficient this time. Their 12-month target for the S&P 500 is 3,900. They expect an overshoot to the downside this summer that could come sooner rather than later. While sentiment and positioning for active institutional investors is low, asset owners... So they still have a lot of clients who are really heavily exposed to stocks. As they reallocate some of that money toward bonds, a.k.a. away from stocks... and other assets like bonds that are less vulnerable to the slowing growth / recession narrative, he's saying that that should weigh on stock prices in the near term. And then he says, we think that 3,400 on the S&P, which is about over 600-point drop from here, is a level that more accurately reflects the earnings risk in front of us, and we expect that level to be achieved by the end of the second quarter earnings season, if not sooner. Vicious bear market rallies will continue to appear until then, and we would use them to lighten up on the areas most vulnerable to the oncoming earnings reset. So in bear markets, you have days like today that just have really sharp, violent bounces. And this Mike Wilson guy is saying that, hey, use those to lighten up on. So if you're someone out there who's got a bunch of stuff that you're down on, you know, maybe according to this guy, you should consider unloading. But here's what I think.
What do you think, pal?
Sorry, I'm talking a lot. I know. I think that people are conflating a normalization of consumption behavior with a recession.
Chart?
Yes. So what does that mean? I think basically when we had COVID, shit dropped off and then it fucking rebounded because you had people staying at home, people trading stocks, and you had the stimulus stuff coming in.
Right.
And there was a massive pull forward in consumption behavior, meaning like e-commerce, just like swiped up big time. So I think that since we're now leveling off and going back toward normalization, people are conflating that drop from such a uncharacteristically high in consumption behavior with a recession.
Right.
It's just kind of a reversion to the mean. And so this chart about e-commerce sales as a percentage of total retail sales pretty much look at that shit.
Yeah, and for the audio listener, it shot up like crazy, and then it looks like it takes a pretty sharp dip, but then starts to level off.
Tapers off. This is the chart from Fred, the Federal Reserve.
Did you say some, Fred?
It's Fred. Fred. Federal Reserve something E something.
Yeah, Fed.
No, Fred. Fred.stlouisfed.org.
Why Fred?
I think it's Federal Reserve E something. I don't know what it stands for. Federal Reserve. What the fuck?
Economic data.
Oops. I knew what it was. I just wanted to see if you knew.
No, you didn't know. I knew the E stood for economic.
So what is interesting, though, is only... So this is e-commerce retail sales as a percent of total sales. Look how, like, e-commerce, you would think that it would be... The penetration would be so much deeper.
The what?
Penetration.
Would be what?
Deeper.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's not. It's just the tip, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're all saying... Penetrate a little deeper if you could.
It was on such a steady uptrend and then just really went parabolic there.
And then you could say it pulled out a little bit.
Yeah, you could. You could say that e-commerce sales got their nut and they pulled out a little bit. So and then like I was seeing other finance people wigging out because like Amazon, for example, there was a headline that they're getting rid of like 10 million square feet of warehouse space. And they're like, oh, Amazon's pulling back. And it's like, yeah, because they overbuilt in anticipation of this trend continuing. But now that it's kind of tapered off, they're pulling back a little bit. That doesn't mean that a recession is necessary or is necessarily going to happen. It's just like, hey, come on, guys, let's use our...
We're experiencing a weird correction.
Yeah, let's use our noggins a little bit here.
Businesses love to, when things are good, they love to convince themselves that they'll always be this good forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's not as good anymore.
Yeah.
And everyone freaks out.
Carvana is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Like that, where it's like, oh, well, looks like the business model of just buying cars sight unseen and then flipping them in these giant vending machines is perfectly sustainable.
All of these fucking companies disrupting, it's fine. You know, some of you guys have good ideas, but I can't stand... For example, I was in the grocery store and I saw...
Which one? Trader Joe's?
No, it was...
some natural Erewhon.
I was up north, so it was a Safeway. Uh-huh. And I saw a Dollar Shave Club stuff in the toiletries aisle. And I just hate when it comes full... They're like, we have changed the whole game. You don't buy razors from the store anymore. You fucking join our club and we send it to you and it's the new way to do it. And then just like 5 years later, they're like, actually, you can get them in stores because that worked pretty well for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's how we're doing it now.
But that's genius because it's the smart thing to do 10 years ago was come up with a very flashy commercial that has viral potential, like the Dollar Shave Club commercial, where the guy walks through, he's like, Dollar Shave Club's different, and all sorts of shit's happening. And here's why. And you repackage an existing thing and get everybody going, yeah, wow, buying a razor is fucked up. Going to the store is fucked up. Dollar Shave Club is tight because they use memes to get through to my dumb brain. And they say balls in their commercial.
But then they're just like... We're the same.
Yeah, it's the same. Then it just comes full circle. That's the smart way to usurp the incumbent products. Is just...
But they didn't. They're just sitting there next to fucking Gillette.
But they refreshed it. That's what I'm saying. That is smart because you refresh it and you make it... You sprinkle a little fairy dust on the turd and then you're like, damn, that's a brand new turd.
Oh, and what you're talking about with the like memes, I can't stand it. We'll cut this if we ever have... If Tushy ever wants to...
Oh, what is Tushy's thing? Like, hey, you got shit in your ass?
They're insane about it.
Tell me one.
Can we look up Tushy's copy? Just like go to their website.
Tushy meme?
Everything, it's like every other word is like a shit. Stop wiping your butt. Start washing with Tushy. Transform your restroom into the best room with our full line of...
Transform your restroom into the best room. Hey, fuckface.
Two clean bums are better than one. These aren't even bad.
Here's my deal with these bidets. Look, when I pee, that shit splat. Even if I aim for the side of the port, maybe it's just my
poop happens everywhere. So be prepared with the tissue. The only whatever
collapsible and expandable bamboo toilet paper, bamboo towels. Damn, they sell all sorts of products. I don't trust. I mean, I trust a bidet, but there's so many nooks and crannies in a bidet.
In your butthole. Oh.
There's so many nooks and crannies
in your butthole.
Let me finish.
We finish each other's sentences.
I know,
that's
but
the charming thing. About...
But this is not the sentence
right,
that
sorry,
I'm going to finish.
Ahead.
There are so many of those that I just said in a bidet. And for me, that's an opportunity for piss flex to get. Because when I pee, it
what
gets
are you
a little.
Talking about?
When I pee,
sure.
In my toilet,
sure.
No matter if I'm aiming for the porcelain or directly in the water, there's inevitably a little bit of like splash, and it gets all over the inside of the bowl and like the rim of the bowl and like on the back of the seat.
My man's bathroom is a mess.
No, because I wipe it down every time. But
you know a fun thing about Ben? Every time I'm at his house,
what?
And I go to the bathroom just before I close the door, you go, wipe the seat.
Yeah, because my toilet, I don't know if
my man,
toilet
can I just
or what.
Take a piss without mom fucking.
But it splashes. There's piss that splashes. And I'm like, okay, that would go into all the little nooks and crannies of the bidet.
Your butt, oh shit.
And I don't want to, I'm like, I don't want to have
to. What do you mean nooks and crannies of the bidet? Oh, because it's like an attachment and there's.
Yeah,
and
there's all sorts of like places where the piss can get up into
I think the
that
problem
I don't even
is
know.
Nooks and crannies is not a good way to describe. Nooks and crannies is like.
It's the English muffin.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are
God, I want an English muffin. Man, how about an English muffin? Let's hear it for English muffins in the comments. Sound off on your favorite brand.
You know
for
what
me, it's Thomas English Muffins. It's got to be Thomas. You toast that shit. You put a little pat of butter on there. Magnifique.
Bleep
pour
that out.
Jam.
They haven't paid us. We're not paying
on.
For ads.
Get the fuck out.
You know what I've been making really good?
Really well, you mean?
No. These are people I've been tutoring and making them good.
Oh. What have you been making really good?
I have been
beans?
Making really well. Yeah, I got this new bean recipe.
What have you been making real well?
Breakfast burritos.
Ooh.
And it takes me, because the thing is, the best part about the breakfast burritos is the potatoes. So I make really good home fries, and they take a while. So I make the home fries the day before.
You mean apartment fries, because you live in an apartment. Continue.
And then I got a whole bunch of potatoes, and I can make a breakfast burrito whenever I want.
Damn, Doug.
And I've been making truly like the perfect, fluffiest scrambled eggs. Oh, it's so good.
Babu, I've been making a really good breakfast shake myself. It's delicious. So good. Satisfies my hunger pangs. And the pills that I take, I'm supposed to take them with like fats. So I put a little dab of coconut oil in there. That's some fat for you right there.
I got some fat for you.
Oh, boy. So here we go. We didn't get to have time to go to Crypto Corner. We got a whole bunch of news. What else? Wait, what was the... Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Elon in the after hours. We're going to talk about, I lost some money in some trades. I got fucked. Man,
we're
going to
talk. Oh, we got a lot of stuff. Crypto, Bill Gates on crypto, Adam Newman doing a from WeWork doing a crypto thing. I'm going to talk about my Yosemite trip. I'll talk about all kinds of shit, really. It's going to be fucking
fun. I stepped
fun.
On
Ben
bees.
Stepped on some bees.
In Yosemite. I got stung, dude. We got a lot, man. Got a lot to cover. So be sure to go to the head over, bop over onto that tmgstudios.tv. Get yourself subscribed. Either to
and
the
they're still available, baby. Get yourself a shirt. Depending on how quickly they go, maybe we'll beg big sticker to let us make some more.
Yeah.
But those guys are tricky, man. You don't know what me and Ben had to do to get these things.
We had to bribe a union boss.
That's all they made you do?
Yeah. What'd they make you do, buddy?
I'll have to tell you in after hours.
Oh no. Oh no. TrillionaireStore.com is where you should go. TrillionaireStore.com, that's where you go to buy all your Columbo merch.
Like, subscribe, comment, rate us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Only nice comments.
Only nice comments. Follow us on the Instagram. Follow us on Twitter.com. And love yourselves.
Love yourselves. Hug, be kind to yourselves.
Yeah, we're not going to say the trademark thing. We're going to say hug your parents, love your parents.
Kiss your parents.
But also quit your job and shit your pants.
Hug everybody you know.
Yeah.
It's been a real rough week for everybody.
Yeah.
Go call people, tell them you love them.
Yeah.
Random numbers.
Anyway, thank you so much for watching another episode of Twitter and Mindset.
We appreciate you. We love you.
It's the only show on out there that talk about the important things.
And now we're going to go to After Hours and be bad.
We're going
to
be naughty boys in the After Hours. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. We love you so much. Give me a big kiss. Don't be afraid now. Give me a big kiss.
Get in here. Should we give him a little tease for
50K? Give me a little kiss. Oh, yeah. Emil. Oh, man.
Bye.
Bye.
This week on After Hours.
It's President Trump.
Hey, I got a flash nap for you.
You flipped me off.
You look like a worm.
I look like Big Bird.
List all the weird things about my penis, then. JFK is my dad?
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.